one of those body conscious people who covers up at this time of year, longing for winter fashions and a world where bare skin isn't king? Well, I've got the story for you in just a moment. But first, if you've enjoyed the stories you've heard today, there's a library of stories from all over Australia, as north as Darwin, as south as Hobart, on the RN website. But you can also find these stories on the Now Hear This SoundCloud. They're everywhere. Now to our next story from the Woodford Folk Festival, Now Hear This. And here's Eleanor Jackson with a story about how the people most important in our life can often come from the most unexpected places.
Thank you for having me here tonight. And I'm delighted to share this story, even though I have been wrestling around it and have jumped back and forth out of it several times in the lead up to this. I'm not entirely sure why, but I guess last times are hard to revisit. And for me, I think too, I felt worried because this story in some very oblique way mentions money. And I think that I was raised in a family that felt like mentioning money was somewhat crass or distasteful. And I'd like to think that there was an element of that being real classy and dignified and all the rest of it, but basically we were just poor and kind of ashamed of it. And so I mention that not to kind of garner pity or anything, because I've obviously lived off my fat reserves till then, and so I'm fine. But because it highlights for me how important education was in my family, how much as a kind of second generation migrant family, we really regarded education as a way of transforming your life. And as such, for me, as a young person, I was really conscious and aware of the support, whether it was through scholarships or bursaries, that I had to continue my education. And it helps kind of contextualize a letter that I wrote to a friend, and I guess I wanted to share a story about the last time that I wrote to her. My friend's name is Gladys Davies, and she was the principal of my very she girls' private school that let you learn how to speak, like learn how to read Camus in the original French and feel ashamed to be ethnic. And she had been the principal in the 50s and 60s at a time when I guess the polite way for describing women you thought were a little bit hard-ass was that she was a giant tartar. She was renowned for ruling the school with an iron fist, and she and her sister were never married, but successfully stewarded the school through whatever it is one stewards the school through, but she was sometimes kind of apocryphally mentioned as the principal who abolished home economics for this girls' school and instituted physics and maths and science and those kind of things. And when I was about 13, I was awarded a prize in her name for general excellence, because I think that's about all you can do when you're 13 is like turn up and smile a lot. And I did that, and I won a couple $100 in her name. And inside the book that the school gave me was a little piece of notepaper to write a thank you letter to your benefactor. And so I wrote a thank you letter to Gladys to thank her for the $200. And she wrote me a thank you letter back to say thank you for my thank you letter. And because I didn't really know what else to do, I wrote her a thank you letter back to thank her for her thank you letter. And then eventually one day I woke up and I was 26 and we were still doing that. Gladys was probably about 70 years older than me, and so we didn't have a hell of a lot in common in terms of pop culture references. She didn't know anything about NKOTB, but I still really liked her. We shared a love of poetry, a love of French, and an interest in travel, and because we didn't have a lot of daily life commonality, we shared stories about those things, books that we liked, poetry that moved us, things that we had learned. And along the way, I learned things about her and why she had made the choices that she had made in her life, including things like why she had never married and what that had meant for her in terms of being a woman who independently had opportunities to shape and be a part of so many other women's lives by virtue of the fact that she wasn't beholden to someone as their property or chattel or their kind of like familial mainstay as a woman. And that role model or that quality to her really shaped so many experiences in my life. The last time that I went to write to Gladys, however, and we didn't write all the time, do you know what I mean, like Christmas and birthdays and maybe one in between. But the last time I went to write to her, I realized that it had been a really long time since I had received that letter. And actually the date on the top of the right-hand corner sort of indicated that it had maybe nearly been a year. And given that Gladys was about 93, I think, at the time, and, you know, she was fairly busy and that kind of stuff. You know, Tuesday she was the captain of the table tennis team and she was thinking about taking up German, and she did think it was nice if I would maybe consider visiting her once, because I hadn't actually done that in the 13 years that we had written to each other. I'd realised that I had not actually written back. And in that little horrible way that you get that kind of sinking feeling, I called her nursing home and I said, I'm just wondering if you might have a resident called Gladys Davies staying there. And they said, dear, are you family? And I was like, oh, no. They're like, well, we don't have a resident here by that name. I was like, what does that mean? Kind of hoping there's a little mystery behind this one. And they said, well, either Gladys has moved to a higher care facility or she's not with us anymore. And it took me a little while of scrounging around, because I think I had become a little, just a little down on my fabulous finishing school for girls school. And so I wasn't on the old girls list. And it took me a while to call back my school and ask the registrar if they knew where to find the former principal. And the woman kindly at the office said, oh dear, you can't write to Gladys. She's in heaven. And the reason I remember that last letter is, I guess, because the reason I'd held off from writing back is I was waiting till I had some good news. I was hoping that I would tick a box that I had gotten married or finished university or had a baby or done something significant on that level. And those things, they just hadn't really panned out. And so I waited a long enough period of time that my friend actually passed away. Eventually, though, I found her family, and there was a lovely moment. We're sitting at their house. I asked, I was like, oh, you know, I'm really sorry, I missed the funeral, and I know you don't know me. I used to write to your auntie, and I know she never had any kids, and, you know, I have a lot of photos of her, and she had some photos of me, and her family were really gentle and let me know that it was sorry that it had taken such a long time, because she had kept my letters and photographs, but they disposed of them because they didn't really know where I was or where it was at. Which was okay in its own way, but they also indicated that although Gladys had only met me once, she left me a really sizable amount of money, money that was more significant to me than, yeah, I guess materially, but remains incredibly significant to me now, because it came with the message that she wanted to invest in my future and hoped I would invest in others. So that's the last time I wrote to my friend Gladys, and I think of it often, and subsequent to then, I had a house fire and all her letters burned. And so sometimes I forget all of the details about who she is and what she used to do, but sometimes when I try to invest in the lives of someone that I care about to, I don't know, loan them $50 or give them a time to go through their CV to apply for a new job, whatever it might be, I really try to kind of channel that kindness that someone offered me in my life and to invest in the future and the kindness of those that I love. So, thank you.
Oh, what a story. Eleanor Jackson told that story last New Year's Eve at the Woodford Folk Festival in Queensland. You're on Now Hear This. I'm Melanie Tate.